the Defense Department, like most agencies, trying to figure out how it will keep programs running as Congress finishes spending plans for the year and, of course, fiscal 2012, too. DOD's budget is large, complicated, and trying to understand everything that goes into it, well, probably can give you a headache. A group of defense experts have come up with 10 separate takes on what they're calling the Pentagon Labyrinth. The book is called The Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 Short Essays to Help You Through It. And they put their thoughts into this set of essays, and we're going to talk to all of them over the next couple days. But first, we want to talk to the person who pulled it all together, Winslow Wheeler. He is with the Strauss Military Reform Project. He edited the series. We used to work on Capitol Hill, so he knows what he's talking about. Winslow, thanks so much for being here.
I appreciate the invitation. Thanks very much.
So why do this book? As I said, it's called The Pentagon Labyrinth. Why do this?
Well, I think we've had a real deterioration in how our government is functioning. Our normal checks and balances designed into our system is not working. And when you watch a hearing on Capitol Hill these days, all you hear are fawning questions from the members of Congress, basically asking how can they help, rather than asking questions, how can they better understand the proposals to spend a huge amount of money that are before them? It's really gotten to the point where we're really operating like blind men, and we really don't understand what we're up to.
And your specific essay is on congressional oversight, willing and able or willing to enable. And the general take is that the congressional oversight hasn't been as, I'm not going to say harsh, but it hasn't been as maybe active as it should be?
Well, you can be more harsh than that. It's been inactive. It's almost as if it's anti-oversight rather than trying to understand what's going on. Let me put it this way. Congress has three fundamental powers: the power of the purse, the power to declare war, and the power to investigate. The first two powers are completely meaningless unless they exercise the investigatory power. We saw that in October 2002 when President Bush pressured Congress to give him authorization to go to war in Iraq. And none of the appropriate questions were being asked, we didn't do the oversight to understand whether or not the Bush administration's rationale for going to war against Iraq were based in fact or based in a political agenda.
So what should folks on Capitol Hill be doing? It's very hard. You know, you've been there, you've done it, and you have a lot of pressure and strain pulling you in a lot of different ways. What should they be doing?
Well, in my essay on oversight, I have some steps to try to, you know, to perform oversight properly. The first step is to want to do it. And the rest of that is easy. Right now, they really don't want to do that because they think that it's a political negative to ask a Department of Defense witness like Secretary of Defense Gates or Admiral Mullen, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a question that somebody is going to bend against them and accuse them of being unpatriotic because they weren't wildly enthusiastic about supporting this or that weapon system or this or that international policy. And so the first step is to want to do it. And right now I have no impression whatsoever that the vast majority of Congress wants to do it. There are exceptions, but the vast majority certainly does not seem to want to do it.
Hmm. And it often because I think it's really hard and it's very complex, and particularly DOD, very, very large. And one of my favorite parts of your essay is labeled precaution number two. The least important issue may be the subject of your investigation. As I say, DOD is a target-rich environment. Almost any subject you select will command millions or billions of dollars and hold American lives at stake. And so it's sometimes easy to focus on things that may spend billions of dollars but aren't in the end really that important.
Well, that's right. I mean, almost any subject you look at, if you take a real investigatory approach to it, will lead you to certain fundamental truths about the Pentagon and how it spends money, and Congress and how it spends money. And if you, you know, in the 1980s, we had examples as mundane as screwdrivers and hammers and toilet seats and coffee makers. And if you scratch the surface of those, you know, so-called horror stories, you found a system that didn't value the effectiveness of the item it was buying. It valued the cost of it. And it was almost as if cost was something to be enhanced rather than to be controlled. And effectiveness was something, you know, to be truly to be enhanced, but they didn't do it. And as a result, we got a lot of very mediocre weapons at huge costs.
So I'm putting you in charge. I'm making you big cheese, top dog, number one guy. What would you do if you were in charge of leading the Senate Armed Services Committee or something like that? How would you do this?
I'd surround myself with investigators who are eager to get to the bottom of these things, people who are completely disinterested in getting jobs, not just with defense manufacturers after they left the, you know, the committee, but also totally disinterested in working in the Pentagon. You can't expect oversight out of a support structure that yearns to get jobs in the place that's, you know, that you're trying to exercise oversight. Right now, on Capitol Hill, people think it's a sign of a quality staffer if he gets a job offer from the Pentagon. You think about it. That person is not going to be the person who was responsible for nasty questions, facts the Pentagon didn't want him to learn, and so on. He's going to be a cooperative staffer, and it's a sad story.
Winslow Wheeler, he leads the Strauss Military Reform Project, and he edited Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 short essays to help you through it, it being the Pentagon. That book contains essays from a number of defense experts. We're going to talk to most of them. We're going to talk tomorrow with, who are we talking with tomorrow? I had it right here. Oh, we're going to Chuck Spinney. He
right.
wrote essentially essay number one about why it's even you have to put out this essay.
There's a lot to learn from Chuck Spinney. He spent over 40 years observing the system from the inside.
So we'll talk to him tomorrow. Mr. Wheeler, thanks so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. You're very welcome.